Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to Vern's post-game show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
2-0, the final score. Royals lose again. Phone lines are open for you. You know I have a lot to say after this one, but I want to hear from you. If you were one of the near 17,000 to make that trek out to Kauffman Stadium, I'd love to hear about your return to the K, about your experience today. If you were not one of the 16,633 within the confines of Kauffman Stadium, and you have observations about your favorite baseball team, I'd love to hear those as well. Again, the phone number, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. And I'll give you a quick summary from my game notes. Listen, we're all disappointed in the final result. We're always disappointed after a Royals loss. But for me, it's not the loss. It's the way that they lost. It seems to me as if two games in, it's obvious the young guys are tight because I know they're smarter baseball players than this. Not playing smart baseball. I mean, you have the leadoff man on in three of the first four innings. Four of the first six innings. You don't score a run. Franmil Reyes, you're stepping up to the dish in the third inning with the bases loaded in a scoreless game. And you get dinged because you're not paying attention with 8 seconds left in the clock. For those unfamiliar with the new pitch timer, a catcher must be in position, ready to receive the pitch with 9 seconds on the pitch clock. The hitter must be focused on the pitcher at attention with 8 seconds left in the clock. Franmil Reyes was not. And with the bases loaded and two outs in a scoreless game in the third inning, he is quickly down in the count 0-1 because he ain't paying attention. Bobby Witt Jr. in the sixth inning, with Byron Buxton on second base. On second base, mind you, because of a passed ball charged to Salvador Perez. Can't happen. And with Byron Buxton, who for years has been one of the fastest players in the sport, with Buxton on second base and one out, Bobby Witt Jr. takes the ground ball off of the bat of Jose Miranda, and instead of securing the second out, he tries to, I don't know, play hero. I don't know exactly what it was, but it wasn't a smart baseball play. He tries to get Buxton at third. You had to throw it perfectly to Dozier at third. Bobby's pitch to Dozier was anything but perfect. Everybody's safe. Runners on the corner, still with only one out. Three pitches later, Kyle Farmer plates Byron Buxton. The Royals deficit doubled from 1-0 to 2-0. Bobby's a smart baseball player. That was not a smart baseball play. 913-586-7610. It's not the fact that they lost today. It's not the fact that they lost on Thursday. It's the way that they're losing. 0 for 14 with runners in scoring position, and this isn't something along the lines of, well, Hunter Dozier keeps coming up with the runners in scoring position, or, man, it just so happens that Nicky Lopez continues to be the guy to come up to the dish with ducks on the pond. That's not the case. Now, sure, okay, that was the case in the second inning. But Salvador Perez and Franmil Reyes and Vinny Pasquantino all had opportunities with runners in scoring position. MJ Melendez and Bobby Witt Jr. had opportunities, and yet those two combined to go 0 for 7, and now for the season, 0 for 12, been on base a grand total of four times. four walks between Melendez and Bobby Witt Jr. combined. Hey, we got 160 more of these bad boys to go. I'm not saying anyone needs to search for the panic button. But let's be honest about who this team is, or at least what I believe this team to be. This needs to be a Royals ball club led by its offense. We've gotten back-to-back performances from a 38-year-old Zach Greinke. 39-year-old Zach Greinke and a 32-year-old Jordan Lyles. Both of them gave you a chance to win. And the offense is a no-show. Listen, you heard me earlier today on the On Deck Show. I have plenty of respect for the ability of Sonny Gray, who has dominated the Royals throughout his career, a sub-2 ERA across 11 career starts. I have the proper amount of respect for Pablo Lopez, who we saw back on Thursday. In fact, Pablo Lopez is the type of pitcher I hope the Royals are in position to acquire this upcoming offseason. But it wasn't a case of, man, Sonny Gray was too good. Sonny Gray gave you 7 base runners in 5 innings. Now, Pablo Lopez was terrific, but you had opportunities to score against him. 5 base runners in 5 1/3. These two starting pitchers have walked 7, and you're unable to push a run across. I don't believe this Royals team to be a pitching and defense squad. And yet the pitching and the defense has done enough to allow you to win. The offense has not. Bobby, MJ, Salvi, and Vinny must be good for this team to be competitive. For this team to be good, you need more than just those four. 2 games into the season, those four are yet to meet the standard that we're all holding them to. Game 3, the finale of this series, the Royals try and stave off a sweep. Brad Keller on the hill facing Joe Ryan. It's a 1:10 first pitch. I'll be on the air following Jay Binkley in after hours tomorrow. Or Bink Sunday? I'm calling it Bink Sunday tomorrow. I'll be on the air tomorrow beginning at 12 noon live from Kraft and Draft inside Kauffman Stadium. All right, let's hear from you. 913-586-7610. Let's head over to Kansas. Talk with Scott. You're hitting leadoff tonight. Go ahead.
Hey, Josh. Thanks for taking my phone call. Hey, I want to say something about Mr. Sherman. I appreciate him and his group buying the team. But when a team hasn't won since 16 and wanting to have the taxpayers flip the bill to buy the land and the stadium, come on, that's not a very good sound business move. It's time to start putting some money into young players, whatever we can find them, and putting some product on the field. The Royals fans deserve better. Second,
what does that got to do with the stadium?
Would you invest in something that hasn't made money for over 10 years?
You're talking about John Sherman's investment? The Royals make money every single season. What are you talking about?
Show me.
I mean, look at the numbers for Major League Baseball. Look at the numbers for Major League Baseball. They're making money hand over fist. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. If they're making money, they need to put it back in the team.
Okay. All right, I got you, Scott. Thanks for the phone call. Again, if we're going to do this every single night, these are going to be very quick shows. If they win and we're excited to build the stadium, they lose and we never want the new stadium, we got to be better than that. Scott, thanks for the phone call. I mean, I asked John Sherman back on Thursday, what do you say to Royals fans that believe you're more focused on the new stadium than you are the product you're putting out there on the field? And I've played his response multiple times, but to bottom line it, You got to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. They can be mutually exclusive. Now, with that being said, if you want to talk about the team, let's disregard the stadium conversation. If you want to focus on the team, okay. Yeah, I told you when the season ended a year ago or a handful of months ago that this Royals team had to acquire three pitchers. And I gave you a list of pitchers I would like to see them bring in. And the Royals did just that. They brought in three pitchers. Jordan Lyles, who you saw today, suffers the loss, but pitched well enough to win. 5 1/3 innings, one earned run on five hits, a pair of punch-outs, and a pair of walks. Also brought in Ryan Yarbrough, who you saw today, retire all five batters that he faced. And they acquired Aroldis Chapman, who was pumping triple digits past everybody that he faced in the ninth inning, three up, three down, striking out the side. So look, the new guy Saturday, the three pitchers that they acquired, all of them had very impressive Royals debuts. Personally, I wanted to see a higher tier free agent pitcher come to Kansas City. That didn't happen. Now, as I say that's the fan in me. I wanted the Sean Manaea signing. I wanted a Nate Eovaldi. I would have even taken a Kyle Gibson, along with a Jordan Lyles. I got nothing against Lyles, nothing against Chapman, nothing bad to say about Ryan Yarbrough. Just wanted a few more or another name that could join that starting pitching conversation. Now, as I say that, again, that's the fan in me. But if I'm Royals general manager J.J. Piccolo, and it's my first year at the helm of this organization, personally, if I'm J.J., I have not seen enough from the guys on this team to go to my boss, owner John Sherman, and say, John, now's the time to spend big. Now's the time to go out and bring in, like they did in the past, Edinson Volquez. Now's the time to bring in Kendrys Morales or a Johnny Cueto or a James Shields, a big name guy to put us over the top. For as much as the fan in me wanted the Royals to go out and spend some money and put a good product on the field, if I'm in the seats that J.J. Piccolo currently holds, I'm not willing to put my neck out there to tell my boss now's the time to spend big, because I don't know if this team is a pitcher or two away. Shoot, we've seen two good pitching performances in the first two games, and the offense is yet to back them up. Right, the only way you go out and spend big free agent-wise, in my opinion, is if you know Bobby, MJ, Salvi, Vinny, Massey, these guys are not only bona fide big leaguers, but they're winners. And they are just lacking the type of support like Moose, Haas, Kane, and Gordo were following that 2012 season. Just needed a jolt to that clubhouse. Just needed an ace at the front of that rotation. Because these guys believe that they're good. They just needed a few more reinforcements. I believe Bobby's a stud. I believe MJ Melendez is going to hit 25 home runs. I believe Vinny Pasquantino has the ability to hit 300 this season. But am I willing to stick my neck out there if I'm J.J. Piccolo and say, this is the year it all clicks? No, I'm not. I wouldn't be if I was him. Honestly, if I was in their position, I'd do what they're doing this season. I would treat it as an evaluation 2023 to know when we reach the offseason, is Bobby an everyday shortstop? Is Kyle Isbell the center fielder of the future? Daniel Lynch, Chris Bubich, are they mainstays in this rotation moving forward? Michael Massey, MJ Melendez, Vinny Pasquantino, are these names cemented in the middle of the lineup and guys that you can rely on when the pressure is the highest. You're going to learn that this season, and it should inform the decisions that John Sherman and J.J. Piccolo make this offseason. So I understand their game plan for 2023, the evaluation of 2023. I understand it, but two games into the season, I'm not eager to embrace it because I'm still a fan at heart. I'm a media member. I don't work for the Royals. I want to watch good baseball, which is why I've deemed this season, my theme for the season is the campfire, because I love this game. I love this stadium. You know how I feel about Bobby and MJ and Vinny and Salvi. I show up every day. Can't wait to watch them. Can't wait to see what Brady Singer's going to do coming up on Monday. You know, a campfire always seems like a good idea when you first hear about it, or when you're heading over to your buddy's house to enjoy a nice night around the campfire. But if you don't have enough kindling around those embers of Bobby and MJ, Salvi and Pasquantino, Brady Singer and the rest, if you don't have enough kindling and if you don't find a spark, a campfire is not going to be much fun. Because then you're just outside in the dark and cold. Can a coaching staff alone provide that spark? I don't believe so. It needs to come from the 26 men on this roster. So who's going to provide the spark? Greinke and Lyles have tried, but I think it needs to come from the offense. I think this team needs to be led by the bats, and so far the bats are 0 for 14 with runners in scoring position, a grand total of 6 hits in 18 innings. Royals lose 2-0, 0-2 on the young season. We'll take a quick timeout. We get to your thoughts after this.
Subscribe to the Character Concerns podcast now on the Odyssey app, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Liberty, always live on the free Odyssey app.
2-0, the final score. Royals lose to the Minnesota Twins and now hand the ball to Brad Keller. Sunday afternoon, he squares off with Joe Ryan. It's a 1-10 first pitch. Royals' best opportunity today. You could make a case it was the second inning with 2-1 and nobody out, and then unfortunately Dozier, Isbell, and Nate Eaton went down in order. But to me, really the key moment of this game, and I did make a mistake earlier when I said Franmil Reyes stepped to the dish in the third in a scoreless game with the bases loaded. Royals trailed 1-0, so my apologies. Royals fell behind in the first inning as Jose Miranda plates Byron Buxton for a 1-0 first inning leadoff of Jordan Lyles. But in the bottom of the third, down 1-0, Nicky Lopez, the nine-hitter, draws a leadoff walk after falling behind 0-2. When he reaches first base, it's got to turn into a run. When you get your second leadoff man, a kid with speed like Nicky Lopez, he's on first with nobody out. We got to manufacture that run. He's got to cross the plate. Now, Bobby Witt Jr., tough luck, hits a bullet right at the Twins' third baseman for the first out. MJ Melendez then draws a walk, so it's 2-on with 1 out. First pitch swinging from Salvador Perez, he flies out to center. Vinny Pasquantino walks to load the bases, and that brings us to that spot for Franmil Reyes. He gets charged a strike for not being attentive with 8 seconds left in the pitch clock, and ultimately goes down swinging on a slider from Sonny Gray. That, to me, was the best opportunity, getting Nicky Lopez on base to lead off that third. The Royals are unable to capitalize. They get the leadoff man on again in the fourth, again in the sixth, and again, nothing to show for it. The loss goes to Jordan Lyles. Royals now 0-2 on the season. How about this? Kansas City, with this 0-2 start, they become the first American League team since 1972 to allow 2 runs or fewer in each of the first 2 games and lose them both. It's only the 6th time in American League history.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That's happened. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Get to the text line, get to Twitter coming up in a moment as you guys are all very sensitive on a Saturday afternoon. Let's go to Big T and Shawnee. Big T, nice to hear from you, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, good hearing from you, Vern. Good stuff. So note to everybody, I don't want to hear nothing about the stadium the rest of the year. It's going to happen.
Right.
The guy in Kansas, it's not even going to affect you. You don't even have to pay taxes. So just shut up. Let's talk about this game, though, Vern. Tough luck, 2-0 loss. That stat you just threw out there, what's the odds of that, everybody? No, this is going to happen. I want to take my hat off to Royals debut, Jordan Lyles. Nice job. Pitched well. Same with Yarbrough. Nice job. As the whole bowl, the pitching was fantastic. They did their job today. The defense, not so much. I think that first run, Vern, was purely scored on Brian Buxton's speed. He caught Bobby Witt off guard, and then when he scored on the sack fly, a shallow sack fly, it caught Isabel off guard. But we got to be ready for those guys. They're in our division. I'm a freak, Vern, so I had the Yankees and Frisco on TV muted while listening to our boys in blue. You hit it on the head. That was the key inning. Familio Reyes is batting fifth. You've got to be ready. You've got to be ready. He was back up against the wall. Perfect opportunity to score. It didn't happen. And coming in today, Vern, I know albeit only one game played for everybody. Frisco, Detroit, that's where the only teams that had scored runs. And guess what? Detroit scored today. Sonny Frisco.
Oh, Big T. I'm just saying your phone's. It sounds like you're underwater. Yeah, your phone sounds like you're underwater, kind of losing you, man. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Text line, Twitter, you're all mad at me because I'm telling you that Major League Baseball's making money hand over fist. Major League Baseball posted an overall income of $10.3 billion in 2022. According to Forbes magazine, the Royals had $260 million in revenue with an operating income in 2022 of $33 million, and the organization is now worth $1.2 billion. Why isn't all that money put back into the team? Because it's a business? Look, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not getting this money. It's not up to me. Now, it could be worse. I mean, you all know about the Oakland Athletics, right? Oakland Athletics, who are consistently at the bottom or second to the bottom when it comes to opening day payroll. They don't spend any money on their team. And yet, the Oakland Athletics, as far as revenue, profit, top five in Major League Baseball last year. So you want to talk about taking money from the Yankees and the Dodgers and putting it in your pockets. You don't begin pointing fingers with the Kansas City Royals. There are some teams on the West Coast, some teams in Florida that are lining their pockets with your money and with other teams' money, treating it much more like a business than they are here in Kansas City. But hey, you want John Sherman and this ownership group to spend more money? You're not going to hear an argument from me. There are few things I enjoy doing more than spending the money of billionaires. So I'm with you. Yeah, hey, I told you the names I wanted. I told you the free agent pitchers I was eyeing this offseason. But you can only sit here and complain for so long because I know you don't want to hear it. It's a billion-dollar industry. That's always been my belief. You don't buy a team to make money. You're going to make money even if you don't try. You're going to make money even if you spend a lot of money. Major League Baseball owning a professional organization to me is You can't go wrong. But you don't get into this, in my opinion. You don't get into organization ownership to make money. There are other ways for a billionaire to make a lot more money in a lot quicker fashion than buying a baseball team or basketball team. Now, the reason why you buy the Royals or the Thunder is because you're a competitor. You got an ego. You want to win the trophy. You want to beat other billionaires at a game. That's one reason. And in my opinion, the other reason is because you love whatever city you're purchasing a team in. And I don't think there's any debate that John Sherman and the rest of that ownership group love Kansas City. As a matter of fact, you look around the rest of professional sports, I do believe that Kansas City is very fortunate to have the Hunt family, John Sherman and the rest of his ownership group, because I do think that the both of them skew more towards civic pride than they do ego. They have egos. They are competitors. But I'd say, you know, 51-49, it's more about taking care of this city and the teams that this city loves even more so than, well, I'm a billionaire and I want that trophy. Thanks for the phone call, Big T. Sorry, the phone issues there, but hopefully get to hear from you tomorrow. Again, Brad Keller squares off with Joe Ryan, a 1:10 first pitch. And, you know, quickly, just to finish off my game notes, you know, Salvador Perez with that pass ball. I mentioned Bobby in that throw to third base in the sixth inning. Big T brings up Kyle Isbell being caught off guard. He wasn't caught off guard. That was just a poor throw and, in my opinion, somewhat of a poor setup from Kyle Isbell in center field there in the sixth as he's lining up to catch that sacrifice fly off of the bat of Kyle Farmer and try and throw out Byron Buxton at the plate. It was going to take a perfect throw. It was anything but. You know, Franmil, we mentioned him. That stolen base opportunity in the third, man. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the stolen base success rate, but it's been well north of 80% since the start of the season. When Nicky gets on with that leadoff walk in the third, I was looking for action. Yet to see that action, really, through two games. Now, the Royals haven't had an abundance of base runners. And this is not the speedy Royals that many of you grew up with. Now, you got that third in the middle of the lineup of Salvi, Vinny, and Franmil, where I can't imagine them getting a green light very often. But yeah, I was looking for a stolen base opportunity there in the third. Unfortunately, that did not come to fruition. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. We'll hear from Salvador Perez coming up in just a moment. The captain speaking with the media. Our Alex Gold is in the clubhouse. We'll head down there in a moment. But first, let's talk to our buddy Bentley in Kansas City. Bentley, nice to hear from you. Happy New Year, buddy.
Yeah, Vern, man. Baseball's back, man. I love it. We've been kind of spoiled a little bit. You know, we got to have the World Baseball Classic, and we've got a chance to watch a lot of really good baseball. Not the last two games with the Royals. Things tend to not change a whole lot. You know, it seems like, we're not scoring runs, and you're getting people calling in complaining about the freaking stadium all the time. Yeah. You know, I whatever. You know, I had a chance to talk to some Twins fans at the game and, talk to them. Ask them if they hate their downtown stadium or ask a Cardinals fan if they hate their downtown. I mean, whatever. But anyway, hey.
Bentley, real quick. Bentley, I got a question for you. I'll let you finish.
Yeah.
Don't you find that the people that are most vehement in their displeasure with the possibility of a new downtown ballpark are the people that aren't even coming to this ballpark?
Correct.
It's always people that, you know, it's just the same as, you know, all the people nowadays getting offended about stuff that doesn't even pertain to them. I'm with you.
Absolutely.
It gets frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, Big T, you know, he said it the best, you know. You're living in Kansas. You're not going to pay the taxes anyway.
Right.
What do you care?
Just enjoy the ballpark.
Yeah. Enjoy the ballpark. But yeah, my question is, I guess, we had a really good spring training. I don't know the numbers, but I feel like we probably averaged 4 or 5 runs a game.
Definitely.
So what is it? I mean, what is it that doesn't translate from spring training into these first few games, I'm wondering? Because it's been like that for the last couple of years.
Well, longer than that, man. I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, Royals, for the first few weeks of spring training, they had an OPS north of 1,000. But Royals also had the best OPS in Cactus League last year, the year before that, and in 2019. What it shows you is you can't read anything into the numbers from spring training. That's why it comes down to, in my opinion, and of course this is coming from someone that is at every single spring training game, but those are the people you need to listen to, like me, Annie Rogers of MLB.com, and that's really it. We were the only ones at spring training. That's why you can't look at the numbers from spring, because they're lying to you. You know, a guy hits a can of corn to shallow center field. Center fielder loses it in the sun. That's not called an error. That's called a double. You don't know who they're facing, what the defense looks like. Now, to me, the only thing I read into from spring training is body language, attitude, and line drives. When it comes to position players, that's what I'm looking for. Are you locked in? Do you have a good attitude? Is your body language that of a winner? And are you spraying line drives all over the field? That's why, you know, Kyle Isbell, you're feeling good about him coming into the season. He continues to have another solid day at the park. Isbell goes 1-for-4. He and Salvi, the only Royals to have hits in each of the first two games. You felt good about Michael Massey coming into the season. MJ Melendez hitting the ball hard out there in spring. Again, what I'm seeing is, sadly, I hate saying it because it happened last year, but I'm seeing guys tight early. I'm seeing a 22-year-old in Bobby Witt Jr., a 24-year-old in MJ Melendez, a 25-year-old in Vinny Pasquantino, who just had his first opening day, seeing him a little tight. I don't think it will continue much longer because these guys are immensely talented. And once they see success, I think that will begin to snowball for them in a good way. But I also know the competitors that they are. A lot like Merrifield and Salvi last April. They wanted to win so bad, they tried to do it themselves. Instead of making the routine play, they tried to do something spectacular every time. Salvi and Merrifield last year trying to help Bobby and Mondi and Santana and the rest of the guys that were struggling early, and then it turned into a team-wide press, puckering up a little bit. I don't think it's that serious. I don't think it's identical to last year. But when I see Bobby make that throw to third, trying to get Byron Buxton, that tells me you're just trying to do a little bit too much. And I hate to think that he wasn't mentally prepared, identifying, all right, that's Byron Buxton. If I get the ball in the 5.5 hole, I'm still going to first because it's going to be darn near impossible to get this guy. You got to envision it before the pitch is thrown. You need to know where you're going with the ball. Bobby's a high IQ ball player. So when he does something like that, when MJ boots one in shallow right like he did in the opener, when MJ has that odd double play where he stops and starts again going down the first baseline like we saw in the opener, that's not who these young men are. So to me, that reflects they're gripping it a little bit too tight. Need to get into this routine. Need to get into that day-in, day-out nature of the Major League Baseball season, and I think those issues will be eradicated. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Bentley, I appreciate the phone call. The advice, again, is just don't read into spring training. There's just nothing, really, to be gleaned from spring training, in my opinion. Royals fall to 0-2 on the season. They fall to the Twins 2-0. Got twice as many hits as they did on Thursday. Unfortunately, that's still a grand total of four. Four hits today. Four hits. They drew five walks and scored zero runs. Let's hear what Salvador Perez had to say.
So what are you seeing from the offense these past few games?
Nobody can see that, you know. Today we hit the ball hard a lot of time. Just try hard. You know, it's part of the game. Today's over. Closure and coming tomorrow, trying to win the game tomorrow.
How do you balance wanting those results, obviously, but and then seeing the exit
balls? How do we balance with a team with strong mentality? You know, pitcher doing pretty good job. You know, hopefully they stay that way. If they stay that way, we're gonna win some other game.
You guys had some opportunities there too in the bases.
We got some opportunities too today. And it's part of the game, you know. I think we're trying to do more, yeah. You know. And
how close was that ball to getting out in left field?
Yeah, I think pretty close, yeah. I think it was close, yeah.
I'm catching a Chapman?
Yeah, I was from, you know, 103, I think, 102, 101, 100, you know, a couple 99. I was from, you know, and he was working in the offseason. He wanted to be like the same guy when he got called up. So I think he's ready for this year.
Pitch comp today just a couple times. What was you, a few times you guys had a swap out?
I don't know. It doesn't work, I think. I don't hear anything, so that's why I call timeout. Jordan and Greenkey, Jarber, they call their own pitchers. So it's kind of, you know, what I said in the meeting before. In the meeting, that's kind of easy for me. You need to get ready for, I know where the pitcher's going to be.
Salvador Perez, 2-for-4 on the day. He has a 7-game hitting streak against the Minnesota Twins. Salvi, the first and only Royal to have a multi-hit game this season, has a 2-out double in the fifth and a 1-out single in the 8th inning, left stranded in both instances. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Thanks to Alex Gold for the audio from inside that Royals clubhouse. Royals 0-2 for the 16th time in franchise history, the first time since 2018. Brad Keller toes the slab tomorrow, facing Joe Ryan, a pair of right-handers going at it. 1:10 for the first pitch, and I got the on-deck show live from Craft and Draft beginning at 12 noon. Quick timeout. We'll head back inside that Royals clubhouse, hear from today's starting pitcher, Jordan Lyles, and get back to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
Boys take it on the chin again, 2-0 the final score, 0-2 on this young season. Royals the sixth team this century to be held scoreless in their first two games, the first squad since the 2018 Los Angeles Dodgers. No runs, 6 hits through 2 games. The Royals' 18 scoreless frames to kick off the campaign are the most in club history, surpassing a record set back in 2013 and 1976. 18 scoreless frames to kick off 2023. We'll get to the text line coming up in just a moment, but the number for both the Jays Southland Tow Service text line and our phone number, it's 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals lose 2-0. The game going 2 hours and 18 minutes. Did it feel that quick if you were in the building? Again, I've said this numerous times throughout spring training. When you're at the game, I never notice the pitch clock. It just has a great pace. Pitchers have a terrific tempo. Just need Franmil Reyes to lock in. He's got to lock in there. Big spot. Let's go to the text line. Nice to hear from Scott in Phoenix. Says, Vern, major bone to pick with Nate Eaton with runners at first and second. Fourth inning. No outs. Fails to advance those runners. Reyes, Vinny, Nicky Lopez, Vern, they all let us down with runners in scoring position, but it's way too early to panic. Although, the early trend on offense is offensive. Signed, Scott in Phoenix. Yeah, look, it is way too early to panic, but I don't believe this team is in position to waste above average starts like they have in the first two, Greinke and Lyles. Am I floored that Greinke and Lyles were bested by Pablo Lopez and Sonny Gray? No. But when you dive into the final lines, they really weren't. Pablo Lopez wasn't statistically that much better than Greinke. Sonny Gray statistically wasn't that much better than Jordan Lyles. The issue was, offensively, the Royals couldn't get a big hit, and they didn't play the smarter brand of baseball. Not advancing runners. Not being attentive in the box. Not being prepared for the ground ball. That stuff's got to be cleaned up. I believe it will be. Joey in Grain Valley says the pitching did well again. I'm just waiting for this team to score some runs. Yeah, man, we all are. Appreciate it. 913-586-7610. Text line, phone number. Dr. J from Tulsa's looking forward to another year. Wondering why Brady Singer isn't starting near the top of the rotation. It's a fair question. I've received it from a number of people out here at Kauffman Stadium, and the reason is because he threw a grand total of two competitive innings over a three-inning... Let me start this over. The reason is because he threw two competitive innings across 3 weeks in spring. When he was a member of that World Baseball Classic, Team USA only threw two innings in that entire tournament. Or else, I believe Brady Singer would have been the opening day starter. If there's no World Baseball Classic, Brady Singer likely takes the ball in the opener. And you know what? I think that, too, is another admission from this organization that has not pulled any punches. They've been very forthright with what 2023 is about. The evaluation of 2023, of Bobby at short and Isbell in center, of Drew Waters and Daniel Lynch and Chris Bubich and Michael Massey, Vinny Pasquantino and MJ Melendez. We're going to know at the end of the season. That's how this organization is viewing it. And the World Baseball Classic is proof. You allow your ace to only throw two innings over 3 weeks. You allow your leadoff hitter to get 2-3 plate appearances over 3 weeks. If your foot on the gas pedal were solely focused on winning games in 2023, no, Bobby, you're not going anywhere, man. We need you in this clubhouse. We need your timing on point. We need you getting reps. No, Brady, we're not letting you go unless Team USA can promise us that you're getting starts on a fairly consistent basis, that you're going to throw more than two innings. But if you view 2023 as an evaluation campaign, well, then, yeah, you let them both go. I want Brady Singer around Adam Wainwright and Lance Lynn. I want Bobby Witt Jr. around Mike Trout and Mookie Betts, because that is an investment for next year. So they're not being coy. They're being very blatant about it. We still have way too many questions about this roster to go back up the Brinks truck for multiple free agents in this previous offseason. The hope, at least my hope, with this game plan from this organization, the hope is that Bobby Witt Jr. proves over the course of the next 160 games that, yeah, I'm an above-average shortstop. That Daniel Lynch and Chris Bubich show you that it's not just Brady Singer and the innings from Jordan Lyles, that you are just a few players away, maybe an arm and a bat away from being competitive next season. Thanks for the text. Text line's always open for you. 913-586-7610. Dan and KCK out there listening, cheering on his boys in blue. From the 913, Vern, do you think the Royals will finish as a top 10 defensive team? No, I do not. Andrea in Blue Springs, glad to be back. Hope to see you at the ballpark soon. From the 816, Vern, I'm telling you, if they continue to lose in this fashion, the vote for the new stadium will be no. Okay. All right. Maybe. Maybe. But I don't think that's going to happen. I'm sorry, I don't. The stadium's happening, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not. That bad boy is coming to downtown Kansas City. Here's what manager Matt Cotrero had to say after the game regarding this offense. Back-to-back shutouts to kick off the season, a question posed by the great Vahe Gregorian of the Kansas City Star on whether or not Q feels the need to address his team in the clubhouse following this second straight L.
In this moment?
No, these guys, they're working hard. They're prepared. We're going to break through. We're going to score runs. These guys can hit. It's definitely not a team meeting thing or a panic thing at all. You know, they're going to score runs.
What do you think of Bobby's decision to go to third there in the sixth?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you just get the out, and that's what we talked about. You get the out, and especially knowing the runner. Buxton, he is right in front of him. It looked like, you know, we got a shot at him, but Buxton's one of, if not the fastest guys in the league. He makes things happen on the bases. Get the out, you get two outs and a guy on third, and we go from there.
That's Q. That audio courtesy of Bally Sports, Kansas City. Royals lose 2-0. Brad Keller on the hill tomorrow, squaring off with a fellow right-hander, Joe Ryan. It's a 1:10 first pitch, and I'll be on the air beginning at 12 noon as Jay Binkley on the radio tomorrow, beginning, I believe, at 9 a.m., 9 to noon, as Bink fills in on After Hours. I'll be joining him, and he'll be joining me on the On Deck Show. Again, that starts tomorrow at 12 noon. Thanks to Chris Unocero for the help back at the studio. Thanks to all of you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night, Kansas City. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
They call their own pitchers, so it's kind of, you know, what I said in the meeting before. In the meeting, they're kind of easy for me. You need to get ready for, I know where the pitcher's going to be.
Salvador Perez, 2-for-4 on the day. He has a 7-game hitting streak against the Minnesota Twins. Salvi, the first and only Royal to have a multi-hit game this season, has a 2-out double in the fifth and a 1-out single in the 8th inning, left stranded in both instances. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Thanks to Alex Gold for the audio from inside that Royals clubhouse. Royals 0-2 for the 16th time in franchise history, the first time since 2018. Brad Keller toes the slab tomorrow, facing Joe Ryan, a pair of right-handers going at it. 1:10 for the first pitch, and I got the on-deck show live from Craft and Draft beginning at 12 noon. Quick timeout. We'll head back inside that Royals clubhouse, hear from today's starting pitcher, Jordan Lyles, and get back to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
Boys take it on the chin again, 2-0 the final score, 0-2 on this young season. Royals the sixth team this century to be held scoreless in their first two games, the first squad since the 2018 Los Angeles Dodgers. No runs, six hits through two games. The Royals' 18 scoreless frames to kick off the campaign are the most in club history, surpassing a record set back in 2013 and 1976. 18 scoreless frames to kick off 2023. We'll get to the text line coming up in just a moment, but the number for both the Jays Southland Tow Service text line and our phone number, it's 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals lose 2-0. The game going 2 hours and 18 minutes. Did it feel that quick if you were in the building? Again, I've said this numerous times throughout spring training. When you're at the game, I never notice the pitch clock. It just has a great pace. Pitchers have a terrific tempo. Just need Franmil Reyes to lock in. Just got to lock in there. Big spot. Let's go to the text line. Nice to hear from Scott in Phoenix. Says, Vern, major bone to pick with Nate Eaton with runners at first and second. Fourth inning. No outs. Fails to advance those runners. Reyes, Vinny, Nicky Lopez, Vern, they all let us down with runners in scoring position, but it's way too early to panic. Although, the early trend on offense is offensive. Signed, Scott in Phoenix. Yeah, look, it is way too early to panic. But I don't believe this team is in position to waste above average starts like they have in the first two, Greinke and Lyles. Am I floored that Greinke and Lyles were bested by Pablo Lopez and Sonny Gray? No. But when you dive into the final lines, they really weren't. Pablo Lopez wasn't statistically that much better than Greinke. Sonny Gray statistically wasn't that much better than Jordan Lyles. The issue was, offensively, the Royals couldn't get a big hit, and they didn't play the smarter brand of baseball. Not advancing runners. Not being attentive in the box. Not being prepared for the ground ball. That stuff's got to be cleaned up. I believe it will be. Joey in Grain Valley says the pitching did well again. I'm just waiting for this team to score some runs. Yeah, man, we all are. Appreciate it. 913-586-7610. Text line, phone number. Dr. J from Tulsa is looking forward to another year. Wondering why Brady Singer isn't starting near the top of the rotation. It's a fair question. I've received it from a number of people out here at Kauffman Stadium. And the reason is because he threw a grand total of two competitive innings over a three-inning... Let me start this over. The reason is because he threw two competitive innings across 3 weeks in spring. When he was a member of that World Baseball Classic, Team USA only threw two innings in that entire tournament. Or else, I believe Brady Singer would have been the opening day starter. If there's no World Baseball Classic, Brady Singer likely takes the ball in the opener. And you know what? I think that, too, is another admission from this organization that has not pulled any punches. They've been very forthright with what 2023 is about. The evaluation of 2023. of Bobby at short and Isbell in center, of Drew Waters and Daniel Lynch and Chris Bubich and Michael Massey, Vinny Pasquantino and MJ Melendez. We're going to know at the end of the season. That's how this organization is viewing it. And the World Baseball Classic is proof. You allow your ace to only throw 2 innings over 3 weeks. You allow your leadoff hitter to get 2-3 plate appearances over 3 weeks. If your foot on the gas pedal were solely focused on winning games in 2023, no, Bobby, you're not going anywhere, man. We need you in this clubhouse. We need your timing on point. We need you getting reps. No, Brady, we're not letting you go unless Team USA can promise us that you're getting starts on a fairly consistent basis, that you're going to throw more than 2 innings. But if you view 2023 as an evaluation campaign, well, then, yeah, you let them both go. I want Brady Singer around Adam Wainwright and Lance Lynn. I want Bobby Witt Jr. around Mike Trout and Mookie Betts, because that is an investment for next year. So they're not being coy. They're being very blatant about it. We still have way too many questions about this roster to go back up the Brinks truck for multiple free agents in this previous offseason. The hope, at least my hope, with this game plan from this organization, the hope is that Bobby Witt Jr. proves over the course of the next 160 games that, yeah, I'm an above-average shortstop. That Daniel Lynch and Chris Bubich show you that it's not just Brady Singer and the innings from Jordan Lyles. That you are just a few players away, maybe an arm and a bat away from being competitive next season. Thanks for the text. Text line's always open for you. 913-586-7610. Dan and KCK out there listening, cheering on his boys in blue. From the 913, Vern, do you think the Royals will finish as a top 10 defensive team? No, I do not. Andrea in Blue Springs, glad to be back. Hope to see you at the ballpark soon. From the 816, Vern, I'm telling you, if they continue to lose in this fashion, the vote for the new stadium will be no. Okay. All right. Maybe. Maybe. But I don't think that's going to happen. I'm sorry, I don't. The stadium's happening, ladies and gentlemen. Whether you like it or not, that bad boy is coming to downtown Kansas City. Here's what manager Matt Cotrero had to say after the game regarding this offense. Back-to-back shutouts to kick off the season. A question posed by the great Vahe Gregorian of the Kansas City Star on whether or not Q feels the need to address his team in the clubhouse following this second straight L.
In this moment,
no. These guys, they're working hard. They're prepared. We're going to break through. We're going to score runs. These guys can hit. It's definitely not a team meeting thing or a panic thing at all. They're going to score runs.
What do you think of Bobby's decision to go to third there in the sixth?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you just get the out, and that's what we talked about. You get the out, and especially knowing the runner. Buxton, he is right in front of him. It looked like, we got a shot at him, but Buxton's if not the fastest guys in the league. He makes things happen on the bases. Get the out, you get two outs and a guy on third, and we go from there.
That's Q. That audio courtesy of Bally Sports, Kansas City. Royals lose 2-0. Brad Keller on the hill tomorrow, squaring off with a fellow right-hander, Joe Ryan. It's a 1:10 first pitch, and I'll be on the air beginning at 12 noon as Jay Binkley on the radio tomorrow, beginning, I believe, at 9 a.m. 9 to noon as Bink fills in on After Hours. I'll be joining him, and he'll be joining me on the On Deck Show. Again, that starts tomorrow at 12 noon. Thanks to Chris Unocero for the help back at the studio. Thanks to all of you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night, Kansas City. Take care.
You-
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.